Chapter 26. Crescendo. Oh my gosh, I whisper. Oh my gosh, that can't be real. Lightning flashes in the sky, and the windows rattle when the thunder claps. What I'd mistaken for Rebel Clef's drums was really the storm. And now the clouds over Orpheus Lake are bulging downward, while the water is rising up, forming a dark funnel, half cloud, half water. It's a tornado, all right, spinning over the water. The sky is black, darker than midnight. The trees around the school whip wildly around. As I watch, an oak by the lake cracks with a sound like a gunshot and crashes into the water. Tiles peel away from the roof of the boys' dorm and are sucked into the dark vortex. It looks like a scene from a movie, not real life. This must be the thing the maestros were worried about. But I wonder if even they could have anticipated something so huge and terrible. Is it magic? Some sort of black spell? Either way, at this rate, the school will be destroyed. I spot a group of people at the lake's edge, illuminated by a familiar blue light, little more than silhouettes holding instruments. "It's the maestros," says Darby. "Hey, where are you going?" Flute in hand, I yank open the door. "To see if they need help." "Help? It's a freaking tornado. You can't help." But she follows me out, her oboe under her arm. We race down the hallway and down the stairs and out the doors, then across the grass toward the lake. Other students are gathering there too, still in costumes, most with their instruments out. I see superheroes and cats, zombies and witches, and a group of older kids too cool to dress up, but now looking as terrified as the rest of us. "What's going on?" I yell to Claudia, who's holding her clarinet like she might use it to bash the tornado. She's dressed up as a pop star. George is with her, in a Beethoven costume, and a bunch of other seventh graders are gathering around us. Claudia turns, her face pale. "They say it's a spell gone out of control." An adult, Mr. Ahmed, the history teacher, is moving through the clustered students, shouting,
"Back inside, all of you, now. Go to your dorms and wait in the halls. You know the drill."
Students are starting to disperse, some running back to the buildings, but some resist, trying to watch. George yelps as his Beethoven wig flies right off his head.
"Someone said it's a black spell."
"The strongest spell they've ever seen," adds Claudia. My skin turns cold. That's not the first time I've heard a spell described that way in the past month. I look at Darby, and Darby looks at me. "Are you thinking what I'm thinking?" I ask. She shakes her head. "Rosa would never." But I'm already off, dodging Mr. Ahmed and running toward the maestros. They're lined up on the bank, instruments ready, but no one is playing. They seem to be arguing about what spell to perform.
"No one could work a black spell on school grounds," Miss Nurani is shouting. "We would know the moment they began, thanks to our wards."
"It's elemental," insists Mr. Walters. "It must be. If we try concertina B, that's only going to make it worse,"
Mr. Pinwhistle shouts.
"You idiot. Are you trying to destroy the school? Look at that thing. Mistwick is going to get destroyed either way."
But weirdly, the twisting cyclone isn't moving like a tornado would. It's just twisting over the lake, clouds and water wrapped together. The roar of it is deafening. Spray thrown by the funnel lashes my face. "Miss Nurani," I shout. "I think I know."
"Amelia."
She waves me away.
"Go inside now. It isn't safe."
Frustrated, I look around until I spot her. Rosa Guerrera. She's standing with the other members of Rebel Clef, watching the tornado with her mouth hanging open. She's dressed up in her usual black leather, pink hair dye, and crazy tights. But for Halloween, she's taken it up a notch, adding a black cape with red feathers on the collar and black lipstick. I sprint toward her, leaning into the wind that roars off the lake.
"Did you do this?" I pant.
She looks down at me, her lips twisting.
"Excuse me?
The music hat, the spell you wrote down, was it this?" She blinks.
"What?
That was just one of the spells that maintain the school wards, sort of like the password to get in."
I needed it so my boyfriend could sneak onto campus and bring me some real food. That cafeteria slop is only fit for guppies and animals.
That's all? I blink. But that's so boring,
she asks.
Yeah, well, I have a reputation to uphold, you know? And the fact that you think I did this,
she waves at the tornado,
means it's working.
She smirks, but her eyes still look uneasy.
But if it wasn't you, then who?
Someone with a lot of power, says another voice from behind me. Someone dangerous.
I turn around and see someone covered in face paint and wearing an enormous frizzy wig. Judging by the inflatable electric guitar they're holding, they're supposed to be some kind of rock star, but with the black paint around their eyes smudged down their cheeks, they look more like a crazed raccoon. I stare.
Jai?
He blinks, almost looking like he's about to reply. But then he must remember our fight because his jaw clamps shut and he looks away. George holds up a hand.
Whoa, did you two finally break up?
Suddenly, the sky seems to crack, and we all duck, even Rosa. But it's just a clap of thunder, so loud and close I can feel it vibrating in my rib cage.
All right, Rosa says. Come on, guppies. It's time to go inside.
I'm not going anywhere, says Jai. I want to see... Hey!
One of the Rebel Clef players grabs him and hoists him over his shoulder. It doesn't take much effort. Jai is a skinny kid, and the senior has arms like tubas. He starts up the hill, while Rosa grabs my hand and pulls me along.
I may be mean, she says, but I'm not leave a kid to get struck by lightning mean.
I go, because I know I'm pretty much useless out here anyway. The maestros will handle whatever it is out there. But looking back, they seem so small against the storm and the strange stationary tornado. It's odd. As I stare at the funnel, there's also something about it that seems familiar to me. The way it's twisting, the pattern of the water, the smell of burned matches.
Crack!
The sound hits us with physical force. Me, Rosa, Jai, and the guy holding him are all thrown flat to the ground. The wind is pressed from my lungs.
What happened? Groans Rosa.
Gasping for breath, I roll over and look down at the lake. And feel my heart shrink to the size of a walnut.
Whoa.
Inside the tornado, it looks like someone hacked at the sky with a giant pair of rusty scissors. What's left is a jagged dark crack, through which there swirls a murky, infinite darkness. Wind rushes from the opening, pushing at the grass and the people and the trees in the distance. The maestros are all climbing to their feet, struggling to stand in that terrible wind. And then, from the hole inside the tornado, things start to emerge. I almost miss them at first, they're so faint. But then more and more swarm out of the void beyond, and there's no mistaking the ghostly silver forms. They flicker through the air, circling like vultures, fluttering like strips of airy white cloth.
Dios mío, gasps Rosa.
Watch out!
Someone screams. I turn, then duck just in time. One of the silvery forms is diving straight at us. Just as I hit the ground, it swoops overhead and soars away, aiming for Mr. Ahmed.
Ghosts, I say in horror. They're all ghosts.
Mr. Ahmed doesn't dodge fast enough. The thing passes right through him, and Mr. Ahmed seizes up, then topples to the ground. I'm up and sprinting toward him before I half realize what I'm doing. All I can think is that we have to help. Rosa and Jai are right behind me.
He's alive, Rosa says, pressing her fingers to his neck.
Ah,
Jai shouts, stumbling back when Mr. Ahmed's eyes flicker to him. The man can't move, but his eyes still flit around. He looks terrified.
He's paralyzed, says Darby. And look, he's not the only one.
The silvery creatures are chasing down all the adults, paralyzing the maestros one by one. Something about their touch is enough to lay a person flat. Before our horrified eyes, they get Mr. Walters and Miss Nurani, then Miss Becker.
Mr. Pinwhistle and Mrs. LaRue stand back to back, playing a furious duet, him on his clarinet and her with her cello. But it's not enough. Two of the creatures swoop at them, and Mr. Pinwhistle drops like a stone. Mrs. LaRue tries to fight them both off, yellow magic blossoming from her cello. But pinned between the pair of them, she falls quickly. Everyone looks stunned. I don't think any of us expected the maestros would actually fail to get control of the chaos. We trusted they could protect us from anything.
What do we do? Jai whispers.
We all look at Rosa, because she seems to be the most likely one to take charge now that all the adults are lying paralyzed on the grounds. She is wide-eyed, her face pale, looking nothing like her usual tough self.
I think we should go inside, she says. Maybe the maestros...
Look out, yells Darby. A silver ghost is swooping toward us again. This one is clearly a girl, because she's wearing a skirt that flutters around her. Her long hair sways around her shoulders. She seems a little more solid than the others, all silvery white lines. While the others scream and start running, I stand transfixed, watching her get closer. Because I know this ghost. It's Amelia Jones. And she's coming straight for me.